Calls back to order. Item 12. Welcome, Mr. Donnelly, Ms. Rosler. So this is the activity review for 1st of July 2018 to 30th of June 2019. In other words, the last year. And this activity review is the start of forming up the annual report. Councillors will be well aware, and you will have hopefully read it in together with the provisional finance report, which follows this item. And the purpose of this activity report is to compare the actual activity performance with the planned work program as set out in the RGP and assist with achieving accountability and transparency of council activity to councillors and the community. Mr. Donnelly, further in the way of introduction, I'll hand over to you.
No,
well, you're going to hand it over to Mike.
Yeah, you summed that up nicely, but
right,
if you've got anything you want to add?
No, just a housekeeping matter. The report is what you're familiar with in the previous quarters. Other than the traffic lights, the left-hand one is showing what we report in quarter three. The middle traffic light is showing you what we forecasted in quarter three, and that's a change that we've brought about in our reporting. And the final dot on the right is the actual result for quarter four. And just the key fact that this information underpins the content in our annual report that we bring back to you in October for adoption.
Yep, well, the end of September, I think it'll be.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, 25th of September.
Right.
Yep. Good. Yep. Great. And and there was some things, you know, I saw a red traffic light, for example, for the public transport, I think, in Queenstown because the testing was done out of time. So there's the odd, I think we just need to understand the context on some of them. Are there any red lights that you want to give us some context around?
I think yes. In the cover report in paragraph 9, that gives you a slice of what has changed since we reported in quarter three.
Yes.
And it shows you or tells you, you know, how the forecast changed from at that time us being a little optimistic,
yep,
being a green and changing to yellow with partial performance, and it runs through. I think there's seven indicators there.
Sorry, what page?
So I'm looking at the cover report, page 21, paragraph 9.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, so there's... So seven indicators change from a green to a to a partial across six activities.
Yep.
You can see there, state of the environment, biodiversity implementation, governance and democracy, regional consent compliance, emergency management and public transport.
Yeah. So some of them were actually deliberate decisions.
Yeah, and look, part of it, this is the first year we're getting our managers into that culture of forecasting,
mm-hmm,
and, you know, we're really holding people to it and bringing that information to you, and it's just going to get, we're putting more acid on it. But in context, you know, to be fair, there's 89 measures in all, so, you know, that's 7 out of 89, so... The report back at quarter three was pretty much on the mark for our year-end result.
Yeah, good. Thank you for adding that in. Councillor Scott.
Yeah, one thing that came out to me a number of times was staff capacity, that there was slippage due to staff capacity. And then I think, you know, just generally over the last period of time, there are incidents that occur, and I know that staff are drawn into these incidents in a reactive sort of way as opposed to a proactive, and I'm thinking how efficient that actually is on top of the staff capacity issue. But, like, so is there a plan to address staff capacity? Is there a plan to give us assurance that our staff, when they're there, are working efficiently and not always reacting, so there's proactive stuff? How do you manage that so we can have some confidence that we're moving forward with the plan?
Me? Rather probably than...
Yeah.
Okay.
Mrs. Gardner.
Yeah.
So I guess there are a number of things. Yes, at times staff get diverted onto other things, and at times we receive unplanned work. And sometimes that comes from around this table, yep. And sometimes it comes from things that might be requested from the public or just haven't been anticipated. And so we do have to have a level of flexibility in that. And we have been, I would say, a little thin on the ground in some areas, and I flagged to you today that I think we are in the science area, for example, with the amount of water work that's coming up. That said, I've also talked to you a lot about our systems and our processes, and so those things really go hand in hand. So sometimes our challenge is that we don't have enough staff, and other times our challenge is about how we do the work and the systems and processes we have to support that work. And so it does come down to a very situational context, I guess. So we, of course, are working towards being able to deliver in a timely fashion and in a much more considered and planned way. We understand how long things are going to take. We more accurately forecast what our results are going to be. And we also are able to judge where we're going to need extra effort and extra resources. What I can also tell you is that while at times we have feedback from teams who feel that they are very pushed, that can be quite seasonal, depending on the work that's going on. And overall, 60% of the time that staff charge as, for want of a better word, overtime, which we call flexi time, is less than an hour. So we have a number of teams who are working, you know, and managing their work really well, but we do have some pockets where you would expect at the moment there are pressures because of the type of work that we're doing and the increasing workload, and that's particularly in the science space and the policy space. It's seasonal in terms of compliance, and it's also seasonal in terms of environmental monitoring. So those are some of the areas where we get a bit stretched.
Is the plan and the systems and any staff capacity issues are being addressed and stuff?
Yes.
And efficiency issues are considered in relation to having to react to issues and so forth.
So one of the first things I do when I get a request for, you know, or a comment that will say, we haven't got enough resources, or yep. is to say, well, hang on, I'd like to understand that a bit more, because is it actually a resourcing issue, as in we haven't got enough people? Are we doing the right work? And in some cases, actually, we're doing work that perhaps we could park or not do.
Yeah.
And you know, have we got good systems and processes in place so that we are as efficient as possible? And when you ask all of those three questions, it becomes a much more complex situation than just put another staff member in.
Okay, thank you very much.
Good. All right, other discussion around the 12-month activity report.
I'll move the recommendation, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor Brown. Seconding, Councillor Hope. Councillor Neil, do you have a question?
No. Seconding.
Councillor Noon.
Mr. Chairman, I've got a couple of questions on the financial paper.
Right, which is the next paper.
You're going to take that separately?
Yeah, next
cool.
paper.
Okay.
Yep.
Fine.
Yep.
Thank you.
All right, I'm going to put it. All in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Rosler. And did enjoy looking through the traffic lights and paragraph 9 was useful to give some context, and we look forward to the annual report. All right, 12.2, provisional financial report. Mr. Donnelly, and you'll see some ups and downs there, particularly with respect to projects that have been carried over from previous year and pulled into the current year. And so, Mr. Donnelly.
Yes, that's right. So what we've got here is this, the P&L and balance sheet, and then on the end of it is the activity reporting. a reason why that we've got this here, because we don't have that level of detail in the other report, the activity report that you just saw, because the activity report, the bulk of that goes straight into the annual report, whereas these numbers, the P&L and balance sheet, obviously flow through into the activity, into the annual report. But the activity report numbers that you see here don't. When they go into the annual report, they go in as funding impact statements, which is a different prescribed format, whereas the format that we've done here with the breaking it down into the individual activities and then showing the funding impact of where those activities are funded from,
yep,
is what we do now in the provisional, so that you've got this level of information, because it doesn't quite come out that way in the full annual report.
Annual report.
But as the chair just said, in the P&L we were, or income and expenses, we were budgeting for a deficit. The deficit is larger because we've had had a larger spend from largely from the capital projects that were carried forward from previous years, and that was funded out of those targeted scheme reserves. But also, because of the nature of those, particularly with ones in the transport area where NZTA funds them, you'll see there is a corresponding offset in additional revenue from subsidies, which is predominantly NZTA. So the deficit is larger than we had forecast
budgeted,
budgeted in the actual budget for this year. But it, if you go back and you'd looked at previous years where we had the deficit there, we didn't have the deficit we expected. So largely that increased deficit is timing related.
Great. Councillor Noon.
Just a couple of questions. Nick, on page, not sure what page, 28, but it's paragraph 9, statement of financial position.
Mm-hmm.
Under reserves, water management reserve, which is about a mil, and just understanding with the eco fund, I thought basically that was going to morph into the eco fund, but essentially we still have a water management reserve fund, and I'm just wondering how, what's the criteria if that was to be used for anything? Is the criteria that we have for that fund and have the community an opportunity, or just how is that managed in terms of expenditure going forward? That makes sense.
They're two different things. The water management fund was one that was set up. It was funding feasibility around the around irrigation schemes. So that largely got put on hold, and that's why you'll see there's been no movement in that, and nothing happened in that over this year. It is one of those. That would be one of the reserves that we can look at when we do a revenue and financing review to determine what the future of that should be. The Eco Fund is funded, it's basically part of the general reserve, and so it gets its own allocation in the general reserve, and it gets topped up with the $250,000 each year. So, and any underspend of that gets carried forward to be used if there's an oversubscription the following year.
Okay, excellent. And the other query I had was on page 39 of 62, and it's under financial comments. It's about pest management plan implementation, et cetera, et cetera. And the second sentence says, pest contracting service work was reduced in line with council's decision not to undertake any further pest destruction services for landholders. We spend $100,000 doing something. I just want to understand, it may not be a financial question, but it may be operational. It probably is.
I think I can answer that probably.
Yeah, just understanding what we spent $100,000 on, killing what, if it was for that purpose.
My suspicion would be that it's a combination. Last year we cut some carrot, and we also have had one staff member who has been undertaking night shooting, and that's what that $100,000 would be.
Clear, we still carry out some pest contracting services.
No, as of this year, we don't have any budget.
Yes.
So we are not carrying out those services.
It's the winter before last.
Right, okay. So that's the policy position going forward.
Yes, so we had, there was a sort of rollover budget, if you like, of $250,000, which was around carrot cutting and those other sorts of residual activities. And as per the conversation we had when we brought the paper to you about selling the carrot cutters, we, and through annual plan conversation, we removed that $250,000 and dispersed it into other expenditure throughout the organisation.
Thank you.
Mr. Deacon.
Yeah, Nick, it's a question on page 29, note N, shares in Port Otago Limited. And I wonder if you could shed any light on why the budgeted value in 12 months dropped so significantly between years 18 and 19.
It's because of the timing of last year's budget and last year's actual revaluation. So we'd already set the budget for the current year that we're in before we'd done the year-end accounts and revalued the shares in Port Otago. So, of course, what we had was what the position was effectively the previous year. We then get to September and we've done the revaluation. It went up significantly last year. It went up, I think, almost $50 million. We hadn't factored into the budget that it was going to be so big. So then we're stuck in the budget with the lower number.
Okay.
And unfortunately, yeah, it does stand out. But
sure does.
But, yeah.
Thanks for that. I should have worked that out myself from the text you provided. But having heard you say that, I now understand it.
Happy to move the recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Noon, that we receive the provisional financial report for 12 months, 30 June. Seconded, Councillor Neal. Any further discussion? Councillor Brown, you're right?
Yeah, no, I'm good.
Yep. All right. I'll put it. All in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you, Mr. Donnelly. item 12.3, Otago Regional Economic Wellbeing Strategic Framework. Page 50 in your agenda. Ms. Ludette will join us, who's been our staff member working with this team, sort of a recently joined. Mrs. Gardner, do you want to just give us some context to this work, please, and perhaps Sylvie might be able to assist?
Sure. So this work came about largely in response to looking at opportunities under the PGF. And was led out of DCC primarily. But we, even though we don't have a sort of economic development strategy of our own, we have participated in this group. Initially, the work was supported by Mr. McCabe when he was here, and since then, Sylvie has ably supported the work. It was delivered to the Mural Forum in June, and so this is really just an opportunity to familiarise you with it and demonstrate that we actually do have this piece of work. It's really useful, and I think it will frame up in some way where the Mural Forum heads in the next triennium. So the sorts of strategic issues the Mural Forum may wish to consider, and also consideration of where its mandate lies as well.
So essentially it's a process for understanding where applications that are looking to head towards the PGF fund sit inside our strategic priority list slash framework and putting them through some sort of process to weigh them up as to whether they get support or not. So before we go to you, Brian, Sylvie.
Yes, that's right. So the driver of this work was around PGF and the assessment of PGF applications. It's been driven by a cross-council working group. So I'm speaking on behalf of all the economic development managers who are much more able than me to speak about economic development, but it has evolved a little bit as well, and it's been a really good opportunity to grow the relationship between economic development officers across the region and to start and identify the strategic priorities for the region and those projects which could benefit economic development across districts. So it has had wider benefits than just creating
that
framework.
Thank you. Councillor Scott.
Apologies. I had assumed when I saw the title there that we were going to get some type of strategy. Is there a strategy going on with the mayoral forum? Because this is simply, as I now understand, just the government's funding some...
For
people to basically work through their provincial growth fund, yeah? So where does this, is there a strategy being prepared, and where does that sit in relation to this?
This is it.
This is it, yeah.
This is the strategy.
Yep.
Have you actually gone to the attachment and read through the detail there? There's a lot of words.
Sorry, what page? Have I missed that? What page is that on?
Yeah, so it's in. It's there as your attachment.
Page 79 of your attachment. Get there.
Yeah. It's from page 79.
Click on the attachment link on page 53. We'll go kaboomfa to it. But it's, as Sylvie just pointed out, it's evolved into much more than just the framework for PGF, and it's allowed the identification of some priority issues across the region to be identified. Housing.
Yeah. Activity and
etc. Yeah, it's a couple of hours read and digest. And so once it got to that stage, it was decided to bring it to all councils, and so that's why it's sitting on our table here.
I actually thought the analysis, the work that was done on prioritising the growth fund effort. I think that's got opportunity, whether there's a provincial growth fund or not.
Yes.
So that the Mayoral Forum can say, well, we've got all these whizzy economic development ideas, let's put them through that sieve.
Yes.
And then we'll maybe focus on one or two.
Yes, correct. And it's based on the better business case, the
absolutely
government model.
Yeah,
so
that was fine.
And all right, so there's a number of recommendations there, as you'll see, that receive the report, notes the economic development strategy framework, the government funding, notes the approval from the Otago Council chief executives to appoint two advisors for a couple of years, a coastal Otago portfolio advisor and an inland Otago portfolio advisor. I'm happy to move those recommendations. Seconded, Councillor DK.
Yeah, happy to just make a comment to the... following what Councillor Kempton just said, I'm not going to sit here and claim that I've read this document as thoroughly as I want to, but I've read enough of it to see that there's an awful lot of good data in here. There's an awful lot of stuff about our region. And I think for the new council coming in, this should be one of the first things they're given and urged to have a thorough read of. Because, boy, whoever's round the table would be far better informed about our region in every respect than most of us are right now. Yes. Well, I can't speak for anybody else. Yep. Certainly better informed than I am right now. It's very, very good stuff.
It's a good update.
Hell yes.
On a number of fronts.
Yeah.
Population, housing, economy, etc. And so, Sylvie, there's a lot of work gone into over 6 or 8 months.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Councillor Lawton?
A little bit deflated on this particular topic, but what I would like to see as a possible addendum to this report would be a emissions baseline for our region, as a lot of other regions are doing. It provides information about where our biggest issues are going to be in the future, particularly when the emissions trading trading scheme comes in and we start putting dollars to those emissions, and possibly some of the low-hanging fruit that we can start picking off as a region. It was an obvious and glaring omission from this report because the work hasn't been done, essentially. So what I'd hope to see is this report provides the basis for all those other pieces of work to be done.
So Ms. Gardner can follow that up.
Sure, we can follow that up. We've got the new report next week.
Yep.
So that can be part of the conversation.
The Environment Southland have a really good example.
Councillor Robertson.
Really good to see this. It's been a long time coming, I guess, and at times, probably you as well, have felt like you've been bashing your head against a brick wall in terms of the value of an economic development plan or framework for Otago. And, getting us all to see that we have got similar themes across Otago that we all need to work on, and that development is more than just a whole, well, in this case it is for funding bids, but I see the value of this a lot wider than that, and someone's already said that as well. It's quite broad, and when we're talking about economic development, we're not just talking about snazzy new projects no one's ever heard of before. It's doing the basics well too, like having houses and sewage and, to develop as a region is actually quite boring, a lot of what you consider as well.
Correct. I found it quite intriguing, the light touch that we've been involved, but a decade or so ago, the remnants of... what was that previous organisation? Otago Forward. Otago Forward were there, and it was all about growing and opportunities, and alternative crops. We can grow walnuts or whatever it was, and chasing down no exit roads, frankly, in my view. But anyway, it was a bit of time and money wasted, a lot. And whereas this session was actually, we all need people and labour. We've got housing shortages. We've got people. We've got growing pains. And it's going to give, in my view, next triennium's mayoral forum something to focus on. Councillor Kempton, you're going to second the recommendations?
I do.
You did, sorry.
But I'm just wondering whether I like the angle that Councillor Lawton was taking enough to wonder whether we could, in fact, add an appropriate recommendation as an amendment to the motion. Would you be interested in that, Councillor Lawton?
Sure. Yep.
And you've probably got the words more near your fingertips than me.
Mrs. Gardner's got some.
I'm trying to figure where it would recommends fit. Recommends the mural forum recommendation.
I think you could just make it a five.
Five.
Recommends. Recommends that the mayoral forum consider commissioning an emissions baseline
for the Otago region.
You're moving that?
I'll move that.
I'll second that. As an amendment.
As an amendment.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Can you please repeat that for me?
I just said recommends that the mayoral forum consider commissioning an emissions baseline for the Otago region.
So a greenhouse gas emissions baseline, GHG. Yeah.
All right, I'll put that amendment. Everybody clear? No further discussion? All in favour, please say aye.
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 Against? And now it becomes part of the whole recommendation. All in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Against? Carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
There you go, Sylvie. All right, documents signed 12.4 under council seal.
The recommendations.
Thank you. Moved Councillor Robertson, seconded Councillor Noon. No discussion. I'll put it all in favour. Please say aye.
Aye.
Gardner.
Tom is just waiting to see whether or not you'd like a quick update on the Met catchments.
Oh, right.
And he's time poor, so.
Time poor. Alrighty, and we're into report back from councillors, so we can probably do that. And so Tom's here to give us an update on the MAC catchments, and he's got some time issues. I can adjourn the meeting for, how long do you need, Tom?
5 minutes.
5 minutes, we'll 10 minutes? Yep. No, that'd be great. Councillor Comfort with that?
Yep.
Hey. Alright, we stand adjourned. All right, we'll reconvene the council meeting and report back from councillors. Councillor Hope's going to circulate her report on, and apologies between the two of us, we forgot to get it to Liz.
I'm terribly sorry.
On conference, any other report backs? No.
Yeah, just on point of interest that keeps coming up in conversation. And it's come again around social media. And so it came back to the women's meeting that Carmen and I went to in Clinton, which was a really interesting evening. Sarah Scott, who is one of our consultants, we know, stood up and was giving a presentation on her trip to the US. And it was showing all of these cows standing in feedlots, exposed to the sun and, you know, everyone sort of recoiled in disgust at this view of how, you know, terrible these cows were being treated. And, you know, the audience responded with a, you know, this isn't how we farm and, you know, look how terrible this situation is and this is not what our brand is and we will need to make sure that we're differentiated. Mm. Yet the photos that are popping up all over social media at the moment around overwintering of cows and calves drowning in mud is well worse than those feedlots, and it's not what New Zealand thinks we are doing in terms of our animal husbandry or in terms of our production and our brand. And it surprised me that there were so many women in that room who couldn't see the problem with the way that we're trying to grow our agricultural system. So I'm just really aware that at the moment there's a huge amount of discussion around overwintering, and the CE of Environment Southland has been asked to resign over it, which he's probably not going to, obviously, but it is a really big issue, and I think that it would be really valuable to keep it top of mind as we go into 6A,
yeah.
In particular, that this is actually a massive issue because it's recurrent. I don't know how we start reversing that trend, but it's not doing us any good. So, and yeah, it's interesting how we've almost masked it from our own psyche about actually what impacts it could have for the future of our agriculture. So, yeah, it was just a point I wanted to highlight.
Good point. There's a fair old Ferrari on social media. Councillor Noon, report back.
Yes, just what I know informally I've mentioned about the establishment of the East Otago Catchment Group, but I just want to just elaborate just for 1 minute. The catchment group essentially encompasses the Shag River, the Pleasant River and the Waikawhiti River. I attended a meeting, about 6 weeks ago, which essentially was very much driven by the Shag group wanting to expand and cover the East Otago area, which was embraced by the farming community and those other two catchments. The turnout was excellent. Landcare were there, beef and lamb, and the average age of the farmers in the room, and a lot of them were female, I would suggest in the mid-40s, and very much, you know, like I said earlier, these ones are keen to embrace change and do the right thing. So I just want to share that.
That's good. Thank you. Really good. Councillor Deeger.
I'm not actually going to report back, but just note that I attended, along with Councillors Noon and Scott, the hui at South Dunedin to do with sea level rise and all that stuff. and it was very good. Our staff presented well, Jean-Luc in particular, and Phil Glassy was alongside him from GNS talking about the drilling program. 100 people there, positive vibe.
Yeah, it was good.
Much appreciated. DCC presented very, very well, especially Dr. Bidrose, who loves getting an audience, but I didn't say that publicly. she was good. And the other thing I attended was the Connecting Dunedin meeting, which Councillor Kempton was at as well, and he's... Oh, and Councillor Noon. We've been all over the place.
Yeah.
And that was a good meeting too. Very, very good.
Is it election year?
Pardon?
Not for me.
Not many votes and all that.
Councillor Lawton.
Apologies, I'll just also update that I went along to the Lake Hayes remuneration.
No, restoration.
Restoration.
They will need some remuneration.
Sure.
Yeah.
And really interesting that we had, you know, the three different report writers, scientists all in the room, slightly disagreeing with their approach, which got the Lake Hayes group thinking. Really great to see that there's data coming out on the monitoring buoy, but also showing that there needs to be some making sure that the ground truthing, that's
yep.
data.
Yep.
And there was a lot of talk about how do these approaches fit within a larger integrated catchment management system.
Mm-hmm.
How do we get this going? How do we do it faster? Within the FMU National Policy Statement framework. So they are, as we know, chomping at the bit. But also they are very aware that they don't want to be flushing money down the drain if the tap's still on at the top end of the catchment, throwing more pollution down.
Whatever.
So we'll get some really good feedback. There's one more day if anyone wants to come over in 3 weeks' time.
Good. Councillor Robertson?
Just to note that I attend the hospital redevelopment working group, and I did that again last week or the week before, and was mainly centred on an energy centre for Dunedin redevelopment project, which Pete Hodgson would like us to be involved in. That was mainly it.
We'll check our policy.
Yeah.
Councillor Hope?
There was a TV meeting from Osprey recently in Middlemarch, and it was a really interesting meeting because there was a lot of people there I have never seen before, and I think they came from a much wider breadth than just where we were. I think I flummoxed them when I asked them about, is there TBs and wallabies, which they weren't actually able to answer, and I asked them, would they undertake more research, and they said, why, are there wallabies here? And there was a bit of a deathly silence from the room, and I said, well, yes. And then Phil Hunt from the Federated Farmers said, yeah, no, there's a problem. So it was a really good meeting. It was very well attended. They're just going to run it once a year. The conclusion was usually when you've got possums and you've got ferrets, the TB is spread from one to the other. But in this case, it's a real problem around Mount Stoker in Middlemarch. But on this occasion, for some reason, the TB only seems to be in the ferrets. But they did highlight that you have to be very careful, and they highlighted the story of a dog that had been probably giving a ferret a hurry up, and it was a family pet and ended up with TB, and the kids got crook. So it is still around. So just to be aware that yes, it was an isolated case, but that's what happened. So, you know, they get those claws out and away they go, so in either or. And so they'll be there for 3 years. That's what they're going to have to undertake to try and eradicate it. So it is still there, so I just wanted to highlight people that, and they really don't know about wallabies. So I did ask them, could they do some research?
Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to say that with the Menhir Care Reference Group, I understood that the minutes were going to be circulated to Council.
Right.
I think it was one of the requests that you might have asked, Brian, I'm not sure.
Done.
Somebody did.
Yeah.
And rather than me rattling on about things, I didn't get down to Kai. So, you know, we need those minutes coming so you people can see it, because it is a council committee. And all I can say is that the reference group meeting, the very first one, was very, very good. And Alec Neil, we were just doing getting our reference into place, and he said, "This isn't the Bible. The Bible, you know, this we can amend it at any time. You don't have to be strict to it or anything like that." So he's very flexible in his approach, and we got off to a very good start. And I presume that same thing happened down the peninsula on last Thursday. So I'd just like to see those minutes progressing.
Right, Mrs. Gardner will check up on what the story is there. Yeah. All right, thank you, councillors. And we'll move on to the recommendations. Still got a wee bit of work to do. So firstly, the recommendations of the Communications Committee.
Yep.
Righto. Councillor Deaker and Hope, all in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carry. The recommendations of the Regulatory Committee. Councillor Scott, seconded Councillor Neil, all in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Liz is just going to scribble some initials. And we're getting ahead of recommendations from the Policy Committee, Councillor Robertson. So I'll second those. All in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Thank you. Finance and Corp, Councillor Brown.
Moved.
Yep. Seconded, Councillor Noon. All in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. The recommendations of the Technical Committee.
I'll move.
Thank you, Councillor Noon. Seconded, Councillor Deaker. All in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Thank you. So, and we have added in the recommendations from the Policy Committee this morning, the Extraordinary Policy Committee meeting, and that the Council adopt the resolutions from 14th of August Policy Committee is the recommendation, with the resolutions underneath that. Moved, Councillor Robertson. Seconded, Councillor Noon. All in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Thank you. We do need to go into committee for a moment for the reasons explained in the agenda to deal with an item. I'm happy to move that we go into committee. Seconded, Councillor Hope. All in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Thank you. Firstly,